air, and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes. Progressive, shut that kid up! Progressive utopians with no sense of humor. And of course, babies of all kinds. Welcome, babies, because I know some of you people are up late taking care of your little kitties. And some people are up early blogging. Blog babies, good morning to you. And that's not all bloggers, just the blog babies. I just want to say hi to them. And you to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning, and let's say a special good morning and a happy birthday to Mr. Wayne Gilman, who is not here.
Really, today. Not here. That's interesting. Yeah. Why wouldn't he be here? Because he's sleeping in for his special birthday
morning?
For
his special Pearl Harbor birthday celebration.
It's Pearl Harbor and Gilman's birthday.
Yes.
Wow.
What a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he's getting breakfast in bed. Who knows what? Do you ever?
Want to call him? I got his number.
Yeah, we should call him. We should call him in a little while. Call Wayne Gilman and say happy birthday.
Well, you know, he's one of those guys that has his answering machine on all the time. He'll pick up if he's there, but his answering machine always picks up. Hi, I'm not available right now,
so please
leave a message. Do so after the dish. I'm Wayne.
Gilman. Yeah, man, this morning, Riley, my driver is so funny. This guy's my Russian guy, Sergey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told him.
Sergey or Sergey?
I don't know. I told him when. I told him that I was going to be. He told me he was going to be taking a vacation. You know, he's like, he told me he's going to be away, I guess, the week of Christmas. And I said, well, I'm probably going to be in town. He goes, he's like, well, I guess you need to get a new driver then. But he said it in a tone like, you know, almost like I was supposed to say, no, you know what, I'll take off too.
Because if you're off, I'm off.
You're not going to be my guy. I'm not going to go to work.
He expects a little loyalty there.
I tell you, man, I got a little case of the dreads today. You ever get that, you know, where you just wake up and you're like, oh, no.
That was yesterday.
Oh, no, the whole day, and then tomorrow.
and then Thursday, we're going to Boston.
And then I'm excited about that, man. I can't wait to go to Boston. I haven't been there in years. I'm very excited to go to Boston. We are going up there on Friday, December 10th. We're doing a live broadcast from the Someday Cafe in Davis Square in Somerville. Our guests are going to be Barney Frank, Congressman Barney Frank's coming down, comedian Jimmy Tingle, Ted Leo, who rocks. And I can say rocks. And also to the guys in Berkeley who sent me a CD to play on the air, some sort of Bush sort of riffy thing. When you solicit something, you don't want to crap on the guy you're writing to. Right? It's just like, I don't know, you know, it's just like a little salesmanship. You know, the idea was when I talked the other day about my wife liking Ozzy Osbourne, I said, well, I never got into it. I missed the whole Ozzy Osbourne thing. Mm-hmm. I was really referring to the period where he was a solo performer in the 80s. I'm familiar with Black Sabbath. I just choose to check out the hair metal scene in the 80s. But this guy's like, you know, don't give this to Maron, give it to Riley, because Riley knows about music. Maron just discovered the 60s. It's like, you know, what are you talking about? How do people extrapolate things? You know, it's weird with radio. People hear it the way they want to hear it. They don't necessarily hear what you're saying, but I guess it's because they're going in and out of rooms, and they're like, did he just call me an ass? No, I didn't. No, I'm on the radio. What do I care about you? You know what I'm saying? But in general, if you're going to solicit stuff and you want it to be played on the radio or you want us to take a look at it, try not to go, dear schmuck. You know, you are so stupid that you probably won't understand this, but could you please play it on the show?
Yeah, right?
No, I don't think I'm gonna. But he didn't say that. I'm of course, exaggerating. So Ted Leo, who's a band, The Pharmacist, is not going to be with him, I don't believe, when they're playing, when he's playing with us, but he can kick it out on just a guitar. He's going to be there on Friday with us. Barry Crimmins is coming down. You don't have to have any tickets. You just come down, hang out, have some coffee. Maybe, you know, we'll get a couple of you on the air. We'll chit-chat.
Chit-chat, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be at Maxwell's in Hoboken this Saturday, opening for Yolo Tango and 11th Dream Day. I didn't even know 11th Dream Day was still around, but I'm excited about that. You can blog at morningsedition.com. You can also email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. And that's about all I can say to stretch out my time right now. You know,
you mean you're not ready to go into the heavy news of the day?
Oh, wait, let's thank Janet. Janet, New Jersey.
Yeah, Janet from Jersey.
Sent us a beautiful gift package of real gifts. It was quite nice. She got Ramon a gift. She got me a gift. She got you
a gift.
She got, and then she kind of put together about five or six chocolates for Larson, Gelman, and McDonald. But she got Pashman a gift.
No, she got, you know what she gave P.W. McDonald? He's not here. He's on vacation. But she gave him a bunch of peanut recipes.
And she wrote us all poems.
Yeah.
Very sweet. And then at the bottom, it's funny. She goes, P.S., I have to be perfectly clear, .. There's been some regifting here. Well, you know, it's always, you know, I'll solicit that. Look, if you've got gifts that you don't know what to do with, you send it
down. Send it Park Avenue, New York.
But don't tell us you're regifting. Surprise, we think you put the effort in. But there's an honesty to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, you can do it with us, Janet, but generally I think as a rule of thumb, when you're giving a gift, you don't want to say, yeah, someone gave this to me and I didn't need it.
Yeah.
And, but she gave me a little frame for a picture that's got little cats on it.
Well, at least you got, you know, mm-hmm. all of us got gifts, so mm-hmm. my wife won't yell at me about why are these women sending you things, because I caught Pure D heck about that.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell your wife then that Janet sent you the phone number and the picture with the gift.
Thanks ever, Mark. Gee, you're quite a guy, aren't you?
I'm kidding, man.
No, don't worry. She's not calling Jacoby and Myers just yet.
No, she's not going to call Jacoby and Myers. No.
As long as I'm working.
There's no leaving. Yeah, right. As long as you got the gig.
Yeah. As long as I'm working, I'm okay.
All right, so what do we got here? Oh, let me just, this quick story is kind of interesting, and then we'll get into terror. That the government announced new rules Monday aimed at helping trace the source of food contamination, particularly in the event of a bioterror attack on the food supply. Tommy Thompson was pretty worked up about this.
Yeah. Bush wasn't.
Not much.
No, he said, Tommy's exaggerating.
Don't put any obstructions in the path of free market, path of moving things into people's mouths. That's what we do here. We are moving things into people's mouths as quickly and as much as possible. America, the new slogan should be, you know, not America, land of the free, home of the brave, but America, all you can eat.
That's right.
Strictly enforced, round the clock, worldwide. Eat it or die, little man. But apparently now, under the new rules, companies must retain records for periods ranging from 6 months to 2 years of where it came from, where it's going, and how they got it. This is depending on the shelf life of the food. Records for animal food, including pet food, must be retained for 1 year. I like that clause, that including pet food, because those bastards aren't beneath killing your pets. They're not beneath killing your little kitties. They don't care about nothing. They'll kill your gerbils and your parakeets. They don't care. These guys have no hearts. They'll contaminate any food.
Now, you know, if you want to know something that's really strange. I saw this article yesterday about how consumptive we become as a society. You know field trips that you go on when you're a kid in school?
Sure.
You know, you go to museums, you go to this, you go to that.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to retail stores.
No.
Yes.
Huh.
There was a story about a group of kindergartners and first graders that went to a Petco. And they were like, $129 for a parrot.
That's right. They'll kill your goldfish. These bastards have no hearts.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, we used to go, but, you know, that's not so unusual, because if you went to a theme park or a Disney store, when people come to New York, when kids come to New York, they want to go, because some of these stores are like, they're like playtime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They make it...
But
the they got a Hershey store.
I know. Well, the Hershey store is nice, but I mean, do you bring a gold car with you on your class field trip?
You got to bring your parents' permission slip to use the credit card took out of their wallet. So here we go. So let's get into the real stuff. An FBI letter cites Guantanamo abuse. That's the terrorist finishing school that we've created in Cuba.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's before any of this stuff went down in Abu Ghraib, that obviously many of us thought this was happening anyways, but there was some pretty nasty stuff going down there, eh, Riley?
There was nasty stuff going down there, and this is yet another example about how different agencies of government refuse to communicate, refuse to work together. The FBI reportedly witnessed these interrogations, including a woman who sounds like she's Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS or something.
Dude, this woman is...
she's like crazy.
Insane, man. Just, you know, beating the guys upside the head, grabbing their testicles and pulling on them. There's a bit in this piece where she's actually comes up to a dude that she's torturing, and it says that she rubbed lotion on him during Ramadan. Well, started hugging him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that doesn't sound so bad. But it was during Ramadan. We're not supposed to touch anybody. That's some devious stuff there.
This is some very, very devious stuff. And the FBI apparently has suggested that the Pentagon didn't act on their complaints about this abuse.
Yeah.
And that was, again, including that female interrogator, and another situation where a prisoner was gagged with duct tape, and the third where a dog was used to intimidate a detainee who was later thrown into isolation and ended up talking to himself and doing some of those things that involve extreme psychological trauma.
Dude, I'm pretty much alone in my house, you know, and I know what that's about. Like,
yeah.
You know, I end up talking to my cats quite frequently, even if they're not there. But this gag with duct tape that covered much of his head because he wouldn't stop chanting.
Chanting the Quran.
They basically taped his whole head up. And then they say that they are following Geneva Conventions. That was a release from the military. It's like, is there a testicle clause? Is there some sort of, come on!
You know what they're doing?
What?
They're creating foreign fighters for Iraq.
That's what I said.
If these people ever get out, if they ever get out of
finishing school,
if they ever get out of Guantanamo, guess where they're going?
Right.
The first stop.
Oh yeah, they're going to re-up or up for the first time if they haven't.
Yep.
We've got more to cover with this. He's not coming until segment three. Babak Deganpache is our guy in Iraq, and he's going to flesh some stuff out for us. But after this, we've got more information about really the situation on the ground in Iraq and whether or not it is being it's successful in any way. It's 17 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, on the air and online at MorningSedition.com from Air America Radio.
Dude, 22 past the hour. It is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That's Mark Riley and Mark Maron.
Yes.
They're coming for your hamsters. They're coming for your goldfish, your parakeets. You understand? They're coming for them. The terrorists of these new food laws. It's pretty interesting to me, and I think it's important to have a paper trail for food, but not for elections. It's unbelievable that they're going to go through all this effort to make sure that we can follow a can of food, a can of beets, all the way back to the Ukraine, if necessary, to figure out where it came from and what's in it. But they won't make machines with a paper trail for every precinct. Unbelievable.
Not only that, they won't identify where the mad cow is.
Well, that's a whole other thing. The USDA has just been turned out by the meat lobby, so
that's
that
right.
Kind of information is never going to happen. But this type of stuff is interesting to me because living in Queens, I go into stores, and you're like, not only do you not know what the product is in the can because of the label, but a lot of it comes from the Ukraine, comes from all over the place, from Turkey, from all these different places. And there's stuff there that's just called like lech. You know what I mean? And you're like, what is that? What's
in that?
You just
have to judge by whatever the picture is on the front of the can.
Right, but it could be like, it could be like Turkish for dirty bomb. A can of radioactive mush. I don't know, but, and I'm not judging the other foods. I've tried some stuff, but I don't like it very much.
I think you better start going to the A&P.
I didn't try the lech, but I tried the hunga.
Hunga?
But yeah, very tasty. But I didn't know what to do with it. You got to know what to do with some of those foods. But here we go. Getting back into what we were talking about before, there are two CIA reports that that offer warnings on Iraq's path in the sense that the new guy, Goss, Porter Goss, this is his biggest nightmare, I'm assuming, Riley, because this is a guy that gets into the CIA. He wants nothing more than to stop leaks from coming out. And here you have a report that says the situation was likely to get worse, including more violence and sectarian clashes, unless there were marked improvements soon on the part of the Iraqi government in terms of its ability to assert authority and to build the economy.
Well, first of all, it's tough to build an economy when you have a 70% unemployment
rate. When you can't cross the street without possibly getting shot or blown up.
Yeah. And where the only jobs available seem to be suicide missions working for the Iraqi police.
There's not a lot of pay in that.
Well, there's not a lot of life in that. I mean, the insurgents have specifically...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other side. I thought the only job available was blowing yourself up.
No. The only job is to try and find people who are getting ready to blow themselves up.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys are splitting,
Well, they're splitting in alarm. Alarming numbers, and the U.S. military and the CIA and all the rest of these people are trying to downplay this. But the fact of the matter is, That, yeah, there are people that want to be Iraqi police officers for a period of time, but with each passing situation, with each passing attack, and remember that there were 17 unarmed people who were actually not even cops. They were working for the Americans, which were
slaughtered.
Slaughtered, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when that kind of thing takes place, and make no mistake, that is horrific.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing taking place. But with each one of these kinds of attacks, people think twice about collaborating with the Americans on any level whatsoever. That's why the American military has a plan to really make the U.S. forces invisible during the elections, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be there with their Iraqi comrades, apparently, but they are trying to keep the Americans away, the American troops away from the polls so they won't upset or anger people that are going to vote.
I don't know how they're going to do that. There's now more American troops that are planned to be in Iraq than there were when we invaded the place.
Yes.
And also, you know, a gunfight erupted yesterday, you know, around the corner from the U.S. Embassy. They've had to close, you know, the airport, the road to the airport. You know, U.S. Soldiers being flown in and out by helicopter. You can't drive down this road without the possibility of a suicide bomber. There was 12 people killed in Saudi Arabia in Jeddah yesterday. And President Bush had something to say about that. Can we hear that, Chris? So, you know,
our commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
The attacks in Saudi Arabia remind us that the terrorists are still on the move. They're interested in affecting the will of free countries. They want us to leave Saudi Arabia.
God, he can't even muster up the energy to BS us anymore. He's just sort of like, well, what? I'm in charge, and it's the same stuff. You know, Iraq, there's a terrorist problem, our will. All right, I'm king. Move on.
Do you think he could act a little concerned here?
Yeah, but it's not a free country, number one. It's got nothing to do with Iraq. We don't address the issue of Saudi Arabia at all. This is where the terrorists were brought up and raised and came over here and flew into our buildings, you know, and nothing is ever done about that. Nothing is addressed by that. And to assume that Saudi Arabia is a free country is ridiculous.
Well, that's absurd. And there is a question about whether or not the Saudis have done due diligence in going after insurgents inside their country. Now, the last big attack was in May when 22 people were killed, but Al-Qaeda seems to be able to function, assuming that it is Al-Qaeda, because right now we got the Saudi government's word for that.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody, but let's assume for a moment it is Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, okay.
The fact of the matter is the Saudis don't seem to be able to root them out, and that has to be because, at least in part, they've got support inside Saudi Arabia. Remember, this whole Wahhabist way of doing things, which includes the suicide bombs and all the rest of that, it has been funded largely by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and also the royalty in Saudi Arabia, the monarchy, is basically surrounded by Wahhabists that they have to sort of, you know, meet halfway.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, it's a standoff, a constant standoff there.
Yeah, and Musharraf faces the same kind of problem in Pakistan when he starts talking about going after Osama bin Laden. In order to go after bin Laden, he's got to mess with a region of Pakistan that is a tinderbox for him. And, you know, you can end up in a situation where you got full-fledged civil war going.
Talk to Bebek about all this in a second.
Yeah, we are going to talk to Bebek about this. We got the Palm Pilot Liberal Agenda and more here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley over there.
Yes.
You're listening to Air America Radio. Clutch Larson is in the booth. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman is, working the phones in there. P.W. McDonald, of course, in Orlando with his fiance and family, enjoying Mickey Mouse and perhaps, you know, I see Brendan wearing some ears. Don't you? Brendan would look so good with Mickey Mouse ears.
I can see him on the front of a roller coaster, you know, screaming his lungs out.
Yeah, we got Kayla on the board there. So, Kayla, when's a good day? We're going to the Museum of Modern Art with
man, you didn't invite me.
With a mini disc. You're coming?
Oh, I'm coming too.
Sure, okay. Everybody can go.
I want to go to this.
I haven't been there.
We can go whenever, man.
Okay, well, that's good. That sort of makes it a little tighter.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for tightening up those clamps. Good. So then let's bank on that. Whenever's perfect for me. I'll let you know when it happens.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
all right. So Ramon came in. I gave him, Janet got him a bookmark, a yin and yang bookmark. He seemed baffled by it because, you know, Ramon is suspect of everything. That was weird. I give him the bookmark. He looks at me like I was about to hit him, and then he walks out. But, Janet, I think he was happy, and obviously you got him the right gift. Here's George W. Bush's Palm Pilot for this morning. Here's his schedule. 7 a.m., briefing on the bombing in Saudi Arabia. Note, double security at all embassies, and just to be safe, cancel all future reservations at Embassy Suites hotels. 9 a.m., call House leaders. Tell them to go ahead and pass the intelligence bill. Assure them that anything we need to know will still get through prayer. 9:35 a.m. Speak to military personnel and families, Camp Pendleton, California. Note, thank them for all they've done and tell them this 18-month hitch is going to be the best 10 years of their lives. 10:45 a.m. Lunch with military personnel. Did I do that? No. Camp Pendleton, swap war stories. Tell them the one about being attacked in Alabama by overwhelming humidity. 1 p.m. Praise Ohio certification of my victory. Note, you know, if you visit a place 5 times a week for a year and promise them anything, you just might be able to squeak out a tiny victory. 5 p.m., call Hamid Karzai and congratulate him on his swearing-in. Tell him, you now command the loyalty and respect of Afghanis 3 and even 4 blocks from your palace. 9 p.m., prepare for my swearing-in. Note, people will object to the crown at first, but they'll get used to it. They will get used to it. Is Babek on the phone from Iraq or not yet? Okay, hopefully we'll get hold of him. Let's get into this intelligence reform bill. It looks like they're going to push it through after all. Is that true, Riley?
Yeah, it looks like they've made a deal. John Warner and Duncan Hunter seem to have found common cause with the White House, who I still maintain didn't want this intelligence shakeup anyway.
Well, you know, I think they're doing this for political reasons, obviously, to get it done before the end of the year so they wouldn't have to redraft it. And, you know, they're pandering to the people that doubt them. But I think also that we don't know what the concessions that they really made were. And it seems to me that in order to placate Warner and Duncan, they weren't able to placate Sensenbrenner,
no.
who did not, because it didn't contain the provisions he sought on driver's license standards and asylum seekers. But in order to placate Warner and Duncan, they must have convinced them that, like, you know, look, this guy's not going to have any power, not going to get him any money. Don't worry, he's not going to get involved with too much of the military command structure.
Yeah.
So just take it easy. Let's get these through and kiss a little Democrat ass. And, you know, and move on.
Well, see, the Warner and Hunter were really shilling for Rumsfeld at a certain point. You have to realize that the bill at one point would have shifted a good deal of money and responsibility for intelligence from the Defense Department. So what's the best way to attack that? By saying that that would compromise military intelligence in the field. That scares the bejesus out of everybody.
Right.
That was essentially what Hunter had been running from day one, that if you do this, you're going to compromise the troops in Iraq.
Why? Because too many people will be involved in filtering intelligence?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that the intelligence would not necessarily all go through the Department of Defense and somehow might not be as credible because Donald Rumsfeld didn't sign off on it. I assume that's what they're trying to say.
But your assumption has always been, along with, you know, with other people's as well, is that... You know, the real reason was, you know, Rumsfeld didn't want to give up any of the cash.
And of course not.
He's got a $40 billion budget over there at the DOD, and he doesn't want to let any of that go into some, you know rinky-dink organization.
Some rinky-dink neophyte who thinks he's going to run the intelligence community.
Yeah.
See, what I think they really wanted to avoid was having this new intelligence czar have some oversight over the same number of agencies, for example, that Homeland Security does.
Mm-hmm.
Homeland Security, what little funding they got, came at the expense of or through the absorption of other agencies, right?
Yeah, right.
So now you're looking at a situation with, you know, the creation of a new intelligence bureaucracy, because it wouldn't just be a czar. The czar would have to have a staff, obviously, right?
Right.
So now they're saying, well, wait a minute. Now you're diverting all of this money and power to this guy. And how, then, is Donald Rumsfeld going to be able to function, not just in terms of intelligence, but the other functions of the Department of Defense? That all those millions of dollars that he has, or billions of dollars that he controls, the part of it that goes for intelligence is one thing. But you also have other ancillary stuff that goes along with that, and it would really cripple, from Rumsfeld's perspective, the Department of Defense. And they don't, you know, there are a lot of people, including the president, didn't want to see that happen. So what I think they've done is approve a bill that will have a watered down in terms of finance. He'll probably be on the same, whoever it is that they name, will probably be on the same lines as Tom Ridge.
Right, but that's the question that I have. It's like, what makes it much different than the Homeland Security head? The Homeland Security is overseeing a series of bureaucracies and security elements, but this is the difference is primarily going to be its intelligence.
This is intelligence stuff, yeah. This is, and Homeland Security has never been that deeply involved in intelligence. Now, the flip side of that is the FBI, although they have been precluded from dealing in any foreign intelligence, does deal with domestic intelligence on domestic situations,
right,
as they're supposed to.
Right.
Remember, it was the FBI that found out the information about the alleged abuses at Guantanamo.
Right.
It was FBI agents that were involved in it.
Right.
So the FBI has some intelligence oversight. There are different agencies that have different levels. But I think what they're going to try and do is create a cabal of loyalists in this intel director's post. And like all the other people he's named to his cabinet,
right,
he'll have a yes man in that position, and that person won't object. And I guarantee, I won't guarantee, I don't believe that Bernard Kerik, who's been tapped to be the new Homeland Security guy, I don't think he's going to object a great deal publicly if Bush, little by little, or even the Congress, little by little, starts cutting his money.
So they're just going to stack this thing.
Yeah, they're going to stack.
And, you know, it's very interesting how many people are leaving and how efficiently this president is surrounding himself with yes men. There's just literally nobody is going to be around him that there's not going to be any voice of debate or dissent at all. He's clearly not putting any confidence or any sort of, you know, even alluding to the fact that, he's lying anymore, like that statement we just heard about Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care. He's in charge, and he's going to do it exactly the way he wants. And sadly, the best we can hope for, he runs the country into a ditch to the point where even the sleeping, frightened, zombies, wake up and say, wow, you know what? I should have shoes.
Well, yeah. Even on a domestic front, last week they released the jobs growth for November. It was only 112,000.
Yeah.
Much lower than a lot of people thought it was going to be.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But see, again, this administration, if they don't do anything else well,
mm-hmm,
the one thing they do well is creating their own reality. So the economy, according to Bush's economics people, it's doing well.
Why do we let them create? We have to live in this fraudulent reality, You can feel your heart buckling, Even the fact that they went ahead and confirmed, they certified Bush's win in Ohio by 119,000 votes. And, that is another,
his campaign chair.
Speculated reality, a fraudulent reality on some level, because these people are, there's going to be recounts. They're pushing for recounts. And, that number, even if he did win by a margin, is probably off. But, this is part of the reality that they create.
Well, remember, it was 17,000 off to begin with, because the original estimate was 136. It's down to 119. Once the recount's done, you never know.
Could be down to 10.
Yeah, exactly.
And once, as soon as the African Americans who are still waiting online to vote in Ohio get their votes processed.
They're still waiting.
We're going to come back. It looks like we're going to have some trouble getting Beck on the phone. This has happened before sometimes in Iraq. There's a war going on there, and
yes,
it's not that easy to get hold of people. So why don't we talk about some of the Bush cabinet firings and also who he's got in mind for the Treasury.
Yeah.
And we'll take some calls, 866-303-2270. It's Air America Radio. It's 43 past the hour.
Join the Morning Sedition. Call 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
It is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Bush cabinet, listen to this. Here's who's leaving. Secretary of State Colin Powell. Attorney General John Ashcroft. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge. Education Secretary Rod Paige. Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson. Commerce Secretary Don Evans. Agricultural Secretary Ann Veneman. Yeah?
Mm.
Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham.
Whoa.
The cats you left during the first term, Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Christy Whitman, and we know why they left.
Mm-hmm.
That's very well documented. Didn't go along with the program.
That's right.
They were too connected to reality. Office of Management and Budget Director Mitch Daniels also left the first term. And he's looking to fill the Treasury with somebody who might not even be qualified. Let's take a couple callers before we get to that. David in Boston, how are you, David?
Hey, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, what's on your mind, man?
I love you guys' show, and thank God you guys are in Boston, because it's just right-wing on the radio.
Everywhere,
yeah.
You guys showed up.
We're going to
be in Boston on Friday, man. You should come by.
I got a job.
Yeah, so do we. We're just taking ours up there for the day.
Yep.
One of the few. The comment I wanted to make is, like, you know, the presidency is turning into a scene out of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah?
With William J. LePetomy?
You know, with the governor sitting there saying, you know, the president's going to be sitting there saying, you know, the sky is purple, and everybody around them is just going to go, hump.
Yeah.
Hump.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
President, harump.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
Thanks, David.
Nice talking to you, David. We will be in Boston, in the Boston area anyways, in Somerville in Davis Square at the Someday Cafe. That is going to be on Friday from 6 to 9, a regular time. If you're in the area, stop by, have some coffee. We'll hang out. We're going to have Barney Frank's going to be by, Jimmy Tingle, Barry Crimmins. Ted Leo is going to be playing up there. He's going to come play for us a little bit. He's great. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to the train ride up.
Yeah. That ought to be a goof.
But what am I going to do with my cats while I'm gone? These poor people live downstairs. I'm like, you watch the zoo. I think I'm going I forgot to thank them, too. I'm an ass. All right, Paul in Portland, Maine. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Morning, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
Keep up the good work.
We're trying.
My comment was on the Homeland Security bill.
Uh-huh.
I think what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is more of a Republicans trying to turn it into a win, as opposed to a moderate Republican like Susan Collins and Lieberman, obviously Democratic, bipartisan bill, because the change that they made is a result of the recent negotiations. I don't think is actually at all substantial. I think the bill already said that.
Okay, so you're saying that what happens is they just buckled to Warner and to Duncan Hunter, and it wasn't really nothing to do with pandering to or being a bipartisan action.
Right, I think it was, the change that they recently made really was already there. I think this was kind of just a stage over the last couple of weeks to turn it into a win for the Republicans and to make it look like Bush was really for this, pushing it. Where in reality, I think the bill hasn't really substantially changed. It was always, going to protect the line of the chain of command in the military,
and also protect Rumsfeld's money. Thanks a lot. Good point.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that's the thing that we don't know yet.
So I'm mistaken in thinking that this was in any way a bipartisan action. The push from the Democratic side, or the desire for people to get this thing enacted before the end of the year, so we wouldn't have to start from scratch and get something in place that at least somewhat resembled the 9/11 Commission's desires, which apparently it doesn't.
It doesn't, but I'm not sure exactly how they resolved the chain of command issue. That doesn't, at least from what I've read, it's not clear exactly how the problem that Hunter and Warner had was resolved by this change. In other words, are they keeping all the money with Rumsfeld?
Right.
Have they decided that Rumsfeld won't have as much cut as maybe the original bill was going to? I'm not sure exactly how that.
Well, hopefully tomorrow we'll have some of those specifics, because I didn't see it today.
No.
Donald in Atlanta, how are you?
Hey, Donald.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My question is, and it may be a general question, but do we actually deserve the type of change that we want? Because, I mean, I look around, I see more people excited about the Christmas holidays than about voting, and we kill off our heroes politically or economically, and I just want to know, do we actually deserve the change that we want?
Well, that's a good question, Donald. I mean, obviously we deserve it. I mean, just because people are trying to, have a holiday season does not necessarily mean they need to be punished. And you know, if you're talking about the people that believe what is being fed to them by this administration and by the news media, do they deserve change? Well, they need to be woken up because, you know, the neocon death cult has zombies that sort of move through life and just, you know, assume that they're safe and assume that they're not born again Christians or fanatics. They're actually the undead moving through the world.
The other thing, of course, is that when we look at consumption in this country,
mm-hmm.
and we look particularly at holidays, somebody pointed out to me the other day that each major American holiday happens at the beginning of a fiscal quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, of course, that that's...
What came first? The holiday, probably? They redesigned it.
Oh, yeah, I guess the holiday, probably. I mean, Christmas, obviously.
So that's going to make the economy look better just because of the nature of the holiday? And
well, because people go out and consume. People spend, even the 4th of July, which is not a gift-giving holiday, people spend huge amounts of money in certain areas on each of these holidays.
Well, I think what he's saying is true, you know, and I deal with this on a day-to-day basis about, you know, how much is anyone doing? How much are we doing? How much can you do? You know, what do you do to not... To take whatever action you have to do to make it feel like you're trying to right this system. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, on some level, you can do as much as you can do, but it doesn't mean you can't, you know, engage with your family or engage with your friends or talk to people or try to have a good time occasionally. You know,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Look, if you want to do something politically about changing things,
yeah,
the way to do that is to get rid of somebody. And when I say get rid of somebody, look at the shockwaves that went through Congress when Tom Daschle got beaten in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen by accident. It happened because the people that opposed Tom Daschle got together, organized, and brought out the vote.
Right.
And probably, I shouldn't say, allegedly suppressed some votes.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that definitely those tactics were taking place, and definitely the election system needs to be reformed, and, you know, and hopefully this recount will happen in Ohio that'll indicate that there was some, you know, not necessarily tampering, but I mean, they definitely organized the polling so certain people were compromised and could not get their votes through effectively.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that's clear.
But we have to, if you're talking about making change, we have to. Tom Daschle was targeted.
Yeah.
By the Republicans.
Yeah.
They wanted to get him out.
And you know, but you know what? That their leadership on some level, you know, when I, as I said yesterday, you know, if Kerry was behaving like Yoshenko is in the Ukraine, believe me, the mobilization effort would be so, you know, validated and thorough, and people would, you know, be, you know, up in arms and excited and ready to take on and find the truth. You know, but this, you know, Kerry disappeared.
But now, would Yushchenko have gone as far as he did if the Ukrainian public hadn't come out and surrounded the government buildings and protested day after day with tens of thousands of people? In other words, would Yushchenko, had it happened here and nobody came out, he might have just blended out like Kerry.
That's right, except it would look different because they didn't try to poison Kerry and make his face all marred. Anyways, here's a liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. One, accept the official Ohio certification of Bush's victory with grace and equanimity, then kick a puppy. Two, boycott the movie House of Flying Daggers. That just has to be unsafe. Three, remember, it's the little drummer person. Yes. Four, this holiday season, block your parents' 2-1 majority with a lengthy filibuster. Five, phrase of the day, you know, our embassies might be attacked not a lot less often if we had more ambassadors of goodwill, man. Goodwill, dude, come on, man. So I guess we'll talk about who might replace the Secretary of the Treasury after
this break. We'll do that after the break. We've got the Dream Diary, we've got the War on Brains, and the Liberal Confessional here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, blah, blah. blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes. How are you, people? Progressive utopians with no sense of humor. And, of course, oh, the baby's up. You can blog at morningsedition.com. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. At Air America Radio. That's for my buddy Sam.
Why are babies so funny?
I guess they're funny. I went out to lunch with my buddy Sam yesterday. He's got a new baby.
Yeah.
And I tell you, after a guy has a baby for a little while, it just, he looks wasted. You know what I mean? His eyes are bugging out. His hair is unkempt. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, baby. I got a baby. You've had babies.
Yes,
I have.
Pretty
demanding, right?
It is demanding. Those early morning phone calls. Early morning cries.
Oh, man. I don't have any. But I have this theory, and I'm concerned about it.
What?
I think that if a man doesn't have a baby, you know, by the time he's, say, 40, 45, that he risks, you know, becoming progressively more emotionally immature and not actually finding the part of himself. I think that a baby completes a person after a certain point. I don't know if that's a good reason to have a baby, but I think that when you have to, when you are put in a position to be that selfless, mm-hmm. and to be there for that helpless human.
I got news for you. It's easier when you're old.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's optimistic. I'll tell my wife that.
I was 46 when my daughter was born.
But you had another one.
Yeah. My dad was 46 when I was born.
Really?
Continuing a long Riley family tradition.
My dad was like 23. My mother was 21. It was a disaster. Have you ever seen a 21-year-old or a 23-year-old? Do you know what they're like?
Yes, I was one once.
Yeah, but I have no recollection of what that means to be that age. But when I see them, when I ask someone how old you are, and they go 21, and I think my mother had me when she was your age. Oh, my God. My mother barely has her crap together now. You know what I mean? The idea that, you know, when she was 21 years old, she was walking around with a baby. Oh, man, that's why I'm like I am. But I accept that. I'm not blaming her anymore.
The average American doesn't marry till 26.
Not when they were kids.
Well, no, back then it was a little earlier.
I think my father had, you know, tremendously low self-esteem and just grabbed hold of my mother and said, that's it. You're mine. It's over. When they were like 17, they were going out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then, they got married. They had me. And as I said before, I was a diaphragm baby, what my mother proudly said to me.
Thanks, Ma.
Apparently she got some flack from John Jazz Guy for saying that. She's like, he was like, how can you tell him that? How could you tell your kid that he was mistakes?
No child. Left behind.
Yeah. But I tried to spin that, you know, later in life. I realized that by being a diaphragm baby, it meant that even that on a spermal level, that's the word.
Spermal.
That, I was able to overcome obstacles. Not only did I beat the other billions and billions of sperm, but I was like, no problem. I can work around this. You
have
guys
you ever
stay
read
here
your
and
parents?
Die.
Have you ever read your parents for their various things that they didn't do or did do to you?
Have I ever taken them to task?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me?
I don't know.
For my entire life.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I mean, you've yelled at them?
Oh, yeah. It was, sure. I mean, I've gotten in some fights with my old man. You know what I mean? Because at some point, you got to sit down with your dad over coffee or, you know, lunch, dinner, look him right in the eye and go, okay, is there any way I can avoid becoming you? Is there any way, because it's happening and I want out, can you help me out to keep a diary, to make a list, what can you do for me, buddy? You know, and at that point, the weird thing about that is that your dad will look right at you and laugh right in your face, because on some level, when you're just like them in the worst ways, they're actually more proud in a weird way than they are as if you won an award. Because when you win an award for something, that's threatening to them. But when you're screwed up just like they are, they're like, ah, how does that
feel?
Now you know what I went through.
That's not as pronounced when you have children when you're older.
Hmm.
Because when you're older, my father...
You know more, right?
My father was a terrifying figure when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't mess with my father.
Yeah.
I tried once. I tried to kick him once.
Yeah.
Beat the living out of me. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I only thought about kicking my dad's butt.
Yeah.
I never did it.
I was like maybe 6 or 7. You know, I mean, I was just a little kid, and he was like looming over me, getting ready to hit me for something.
Wow.
And I kicked at him.
Yeah, and that was it.
Wow. Yeah, I got beat bad for that.
My parents were not big hitters. They'd hit occasionally, but they weren't consistent with the discipline. You know, it was just reactionary. But, you know, I always thought about beating my dad up. And now, you know, it's really too late. If you're going to do that, you got to do it when you're young, because then it's fair. Now if I did, it'd be sad.
It would be, yeah, and see, that's the thing with my dad.
Me,
you know,
smacking around this old guy.
By the time I got old enough to think about fighting him, he was too old for me to fight. I mean, what are you going to do? And that's the beauty of having a kid when you're old.
Yeah,
they can't fight. You'll be on Social Security by then.
That's right. All they can do is sit there and watch you die happily. Just like, what's the matter, old man? Boy, I bet you're in pain, aren't you, old man?
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, they present a very caring facade to the nurses and the medical staff in whatever home you happen to be in.
And you're just sitting there like, you know, don't worry, I'll feed him. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, it missed your mouth. Oh, sorry, old man.
Yeah, but look, you know what? That's probably better than the treatment they get from half of the orderlies that work in these places. I mean, these folks will just throw you down a flight of stairs. Ray!
Yeah. Or take a look on the internet. Hey, wait a minute, that's my dad. What's he doing with anyways? 12 past the hour. It's Air America. We'll be back in a second.
Ask your doctor if morning sedition is right for you. Then listen anyway. Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Now I feel bad for what I said about my parents. I love you guys. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I'd love you more, Dad, if you let us do the movie reviews again. Come on. Don't be a wuss. Come on. We loved it. Everybody loved it. You hear me, Dad? I'm calling you. We're going to do movie reviews. Okay. I'm not going to do it now. We'll get them on the phone and do it. You know, I can't go to therapy on Thursday because we're going to Boston. So
yeah,
it's building up. It's stacking up. Uh-oh, I shouldn't drink that soda. I feel like I'm gonna, I don't...
You're going to burp?
I feel like it.
Don't worry about it.
All right, I just did, but you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
All right. What are we, 12? Here's my dream diary from last night. I'm a department store Santa. As if I don't worry enough about my weight. Kids are crawling on my lap telling me what they want for Christmas. An 8-year-old girl with dreads climbs on and says, I'd like to empower the United Nations with a true global mandate that would recognize the primacy of an interdependent world community while curbing the often pernicious goals of American hegemony. I'll see what I can do. I give her a candy cane and say, next. A little Asian boy says, I'd like the United States to sign the Kyoto Treaty and finally acknowledge its disproportionate responsibility in the creation of dangerous greenhouse gases and also its commitment to the swift eradication of all ozone-depleting pollutants. I say, yeah, I'll get on that. Next, a blonde girl says, I'd like the Bush administration to play a vigorous leadership role in combating the AIDS crisis and chronic factional violence in Africa. Our tragic laissez-faire isolationism will soon bear the bitter fruits of genocide and terrorism. Wow, very poetic, kid. What do you want me to do about it? I'm a laissez-faire Santa. What do you think about that? I'm starting to get really bummed out, and no one likes a bummed-out Santa. Finally, this little 6-year-old climbs up, and I say, what do you want, a Latin American policy that doesn't cater to the drug cartels, increase wages for teachers so that education might finally become a genuine priority in this country, a realistic dialogue about race that might help resolve centuries of inequity? The kid says, I want a soccer ball. I look down at him for a minute, and I say, you got it. How about a pony, too? You want a pony? No problem. I'll hook you up, kid. Thanks. I woke up, and my bed was filled with coriander. Oh, boy, the kids, man. You know, what they want. I hope I'm mature enough to have kids when I have one. I'd like to have one.
You would?
Yeah, I think so.
It's 18 years of a very different life.
And there they are, though. They're just sitting there looking at you.
Yeah.
Expecting things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you,
a lot.
And if you do it right, they'll love you, and you can love them back, and you can shape their young minds into insecure adults.
My kids have been one of the great joys of my life, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's been a lot. I mean, look, you know, my son is grown now.
Yeah.
I
met him. Nice guy.
Yeah, well, sentimentality doesn't work with him that well.
Uh-huh.
But my daughter, Vivica, is just like, she's an angel.
Wow.
You know, I mean, she's just a really, really good girl.
I get all choked up when my buddies have kids, you know. I mean, I got better relationships with some of my buddies' kids than I do with my own nieces and nephews out in Arizona because I don't see him that much. But my buddy Sammy's got this little baby. And I think it's great. Now I'm getting all...
There you go.
I got
bleary-eyed.
let's switch to evil. Tom DeLay.
Yes.
Tom DeLay. Do we have any music that might fit?
Tim, you know, Tom DeLay may have yet again violated the rules of the House of Representatives. And, of course, Tom DeLay is a big wheel in the House of Representatives. But
as
this
he
time,
said, he is the federal government.
He allegedly accepted contributions to his legal defense fund from three registered lobbyists.
Illegal.
Not cool.
Right.
Registered lobbyists are prohibited from making contributions to a member's legal defense fund. Yet apparently, according to Public Citizen, who did an investigation, his legal expense trust had contributions totaling $4,000 from three such registered lobbyists.
So this is against house rules. It's not illegal.
Yeah, it's against house rules.
Right.
Can't
he just change the rules like he did the last time? This little bug-killing bastard.
Well, you know, he might try.
Yeah.
He might try and just twist it around and say, well, there's a limit of $5,000.
You know,
I only got four, so I'm out.
Yeah, he's just like, I look at him and I see that he's one of those guys that I just look at, and because of his arrogance and his smugness and his complete sort of basking in his own power, and the fact that he's like, I think he's only like 3 feet tall, and he used to be a bug killer. He just drives me nuts. That's outside of his ethical, transgressions. Just, you know, the presence of him makes me, like, just hate.
Well, you know, it's very strange. Two corporations, by the way, according to Public Citizen, that are involved in that ongoing investigation of illegal campaign contributions to the PACs and by the PACs formed by DeLay, have also contributed to his legal defense fund. Reliant Energy and Bacardi USA. That's the last rum I'll be drinking for a while.
Is that your liquor?
Yeah.
You like rum?
It's all right. I'm not a big liquor fan. I get too sloppy when I'm drunk. I don't do it that often.
I was an angry drunk, man.
Really?
Oh, God, just awful.
So you're off of Bacardi anyway, so you don't really have to worry about it.
I haven't done nothing in a long time.
Really?
Nothing, yeah.
Well, see, this is part of something that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
In terms of, actually, I think we talked about it last week, in terms of being very clear about what we consume and the companies that we buy from,
right,
and what they do politically. Because it doesn't make any sense to shoot our own interests in the foot by buying products from companies that back our enemies.
Yeah, this could be a very effective, boycotting, I think, is a very effective way to buckle companies and also get, you know, make some political moves and get political momentum going. Because if you hit them there, it hurts them.
Yeah, it hurts them, and it makes others that are sitting on the fence about how they're going to act, it makes them think twice. Because if people are forced to be good corporate citizens, I guarantee you, they're going to be good corporate citizens. All it would take is one day of empty Walmarts all over America, and Walmart wouldn't be locking their employees in after midnight anymore.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be amazing. And I bet you they might even get a raise.
The no shopping day.
Yep, absolutely.
That's what, you know, Adbusters magazine used to try to make that happen every year. Buy nothing day, I think it was.
In America, it's so difficult.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who, certainly people who believe in the power of capitalism, you know, they don't want to do that to the economy. You know, when I, you know, shortly after 9/11, when I did a joke about how, you know, that the only thing Bush could say was, you know, come on, resume consumption. Get something between you and your feelings before they lead to questions.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like I got an angry letter. You know, from somebody who just said, you know, you should, you know, not live in this country because you clearly don't understand how the economy works. If the economy stops functioning, then everything turns to crap. And you're not American if you believe otherwise.
Well, that's true. I mean, look, the bottom line is this is an economy that depends on consumption. It depends on different groups of people consuming huge amounts. Do you know that black people...
It depends on us feeling incomplete.
I'll give you an example. Do you know that black people consume something like 60% of all potato chips sold in America?
No.
If black people stopped eating chips, Wise would be gone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the truth. I'm not making this up.
Now, Dad, when you say potato chips, is that the full spectrum
the
of
full spectrum
like
of
Doritos?
No, I don't think Doritos count. Doritos don't count. But, like, you know, barbecue, sour cream and onion, cheddar cheese, all of those.
Well,
like I eat many of them myself, mind you.
This is coincidental because, let me tell you, Mark Riley, sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time. But when we need to unburden ourselves, we can always confess our liberal sins. If you want to take a turn in the liberal confessional, give us a call at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. But right now it's my turn. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Oh, I'm just going to come right out and say it, man. I ate a McDonald's.
Yeah. Then you must make amends with your colon.
I'm not concerned about the damage I did to myself. I'm worried about the damage I've done to the world by supporting the arches of evil, man.
But in the name of compassion and tolerance, I say this. Let he here who has not been seduced by a McDonald's french fry cast the first stone.
But McDonald's french fries are made at a processing plant that pollute underground water supplies. They use so many chemicals that half of every potato grown is discarded and thrown away. And the McDonald's corporate icon is a predatory clown who lures children into a lifetime of obesity and heart disease. I knew all this, man. Yet all it took was for me to be at the airport and think that I was in a fake reality. And I'm like, oh, I just poured out my entire digestive tract because I could.
Well, my son, you gave in to the temptation of the flesh, cow flesh. The obvious answer is avoiding McDonald's in the future.
Yeah, if only it were that easy. I mean, with a few exceptions, the major fast food chains are all serial rapists of land, blatant exploiters of cheap labor, and frequent contributors to Republican candidates and conservative causes, my friend.
But it's not just fast food. The same can be said for just about every corporate supplier of goods and services.
Exactly. The only way to fight the power is not to eat anything, not to wear anything, and not to go anywhere. I won't be totally righteous until I am naked and starving and shut into my apartment.
Mark, my son, nude, agoraphobic hunger is not the answer. You must take the time to educate yourself, to find out what companies are willing to manufacture their products, food or otherwise, without destroying our planet and exploiting our brothers and sisters. Granted, these companies are in the minority, but they do exist, and it is up to us to make the effort to seek them out.
Dude, what if I just want a greasy, mass-produced, cardboard box meal immediately, right now?
Well, my son, anything that is worthwhile takes time, and instant gratification is no exception. Now go forth and sin no more.
Amen. I'm not even sure that last part made sense, Riley.
Right.
I was at the airport, man, and I'm sitting there, dude. Call us 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270 to confess. Okay, it's time to confess and let us know what's on your mind. I was at the airport, Riley. And I just had the airport.
I know how that is. But, you know, we got some people that are getting ready to confess, and we've got the war on brains when we come back here on Air America Radio. We
call 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Yes.
Yes, it's Air America Radio. We're taking your confessions at 866-303-2270.
Lots of sinners on the line.
It looks to be that. Let me read a quick email here. Mark and Mark, you two start my mornings off. I teach sixth grade in California, and being that California doesn't have any money, I sweep out my room each morning at 6 o'clock, just in time to hear either the liberal agenda or the Palm Pilot readings from Ramon or Ray Ray. I love you guys! Sincerely, Martha, thank you for listening. I'm sorry that you have to do that. You are definitely in one of the noblest professions that there are. They shouldn't be making you sweep your own room, but it's nice that you you care enough about the kids to do that.
I think teachers should be paid like professional athletes.
Be paid like, very least doctors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, let's take some of these confessions. Let's see what we got.
We got a lot of them.
I know. Kevin in North Carolina, how are you?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Confess. What did you do?
I have sinned because at times I'll listen to right-wing radio here in Asheville
just so I can call them up and argue with them.
Well, you know, I don't think that would only be a sin if you didn't argue with them. It would only be a sin if you sat there just to enjoy that hate buzz.
What I do sometimes, like, one issue that they complain about is they didn't like paying taxes so that kids could have free breakfast, you know, at school.
Yeah.
So I called up and I pretended like I was one of those rednecks and I said, hey, those kids, they have to take a job or something, you know, sweep the floors or pick up trash and, you know, make them pay taxes, you know. And finally the guy was like, well, wait a minute, we don't want to do that. I said, well,
that's pretty good.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? I mean, who's going to feed them? The church?
Kevin, I got penance for you. Take a box of Frosted Flakes to your local radio station. Drop it off with the receptionist and leave it for whatever host you've been arguing with.
And then come back and TP it at midnight.
There you go.
It sounds to me like he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't sound like he was doing a sin. It sounds like he's doing some pretty good...
Pretty subversive stuff, actually.
Would he be called a... He's like doing the good pranks.
He is.
He's already doing the good work, man.
That's cool.
Hey, Bela in New York. How are you, Bela?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Bela. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. Good.
I listen to you every morning. You keep me laughing on the way to work.
Oh, thank you.
Now, but here's my big sin. I drive a mini SUV.
You drive an SUV?
Man.
Yeah.
In New York City?
Yeah.
What, are you
bad.
Nuts? You must be very rich, Baylor.
Yeah.
Well, I drive to the Bronx. I can't, there's no transportation I can take. It would take me an hour and a half. That's not the problem. I could get another car, but I like being up high. It makes me feel safe, you know?
Yeah, you know, that is why women drive SUVs and have done so since time began, because it's high off the ground and makes them feel safe.
It's like driving a tank.
But I'm not like one of those little twiggy women in those huge, huge ones. I just get a mini one, and I'm, you know, like, I fit it. It's good. It's a good size for me, but still, it uses all that gas. It's terrible.
Go ahead, Riley. It's yours.
Here's your penance, Baylor.
Okay, I'm listening.
Toyota of the Bronx.
Yeah.
Go there. Ask for the Prius. You know what the Prius is, right?
Yeah.
The hybrid that gets like 60 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
Trade in your Liberty. For a Prius.
No.
Start carpooling.
Yeah.
Just drive by a bus stop and pick three people up and take them to work.
Yeah, that would do it.
Oh, okay. All right, that sounds good. I like that plan.
All right, Bayla, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Bayla.
You know, a lot of people, at least she's not driving a Hummer.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, my mother drives a mini SUV, and, you know, it's not, but that one sounded big. That didn't sound mini.
No, a Jeep Liberty's not that, I mean, it's not a Hummer by any stretch. Not an Escalade or anything.
Let's talk to Danny in South Orange, New Jersey. Danny?
Hi, it's not Danny, it's Annie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Annie.
Hi,
how are you?
It's early, my voice is low, it's okay.
That was Passman, Son of Louis and Linda Passman.
Yeah.
You've been responsible for that.
Hey, one more of them, you're out, pal.
All right, what do you got, Annie?
No, it's okay, it's fine.
Okay.
I was really, oh my God, I'm so friggin' rude to a Republican this week.
No, that's all right.
No, you don't understand.
All right.
She had on the back of her van a bumper sticker that said, thank me for your tax break. I voted for Bush. And I saw this, and I went freaking ballistic.
Yeah, why not?
She was selling Tupperware.
Oh, God.
And as I was walking into this temple where I was participating in a craft fair, this woman was holding the door open for me, and I said... She said, let me help you. And I said, no, thank you. You've helped me quite enough. She said, what? And I said, you've helped me take the future with my children is what you've done.
Oh, you're rough, Danny.
She said, what? What? And I said, I saw your car. I saw your bumper sticker.
Wow, you went all out, huh?
Yeah.
And she said... so much for free speech. And I said, you're doing your best to stop it.
Oh, nice.
Hey, you don't need to do any penance whatsoever. As a matter of fact, have yourself a really good lunch or nice dinner. Treat yourself to something, Annie.
Yeah, maybe you could get a job on the network here.
Yeah.
Riley, one thing. Are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my daughter wants to play date with your daughter so bad. We live in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
We have to set it up.
Okay.
I hear you talk about your daughter, and she's like, I want to meet that girl.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, my daughter is really good with people her age, so maybe we can hook that up for sure.
I have a 6 and 8-year-old.
All right, well, I guess what I... Well,
oh, that's perfect.
Email us over here. Hold, or tell her to hold on.
Yeah, yeah, tell her to hold on.
And let Pashman take down the information. Thanks for calling, Annie. Looks like, you know, new friends,
play
right?
Dates, hey, you name it. We do it here at Air America Radio.
Okay, here we go. Portland, Oregon.
Sure that there is.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Thank
sure
you very
enough,
much.
You guys. Baron, dude, usually I have to have a buzzer wake me up, but your voice wakes me up at 6:07. And it's no joke, dude. It's a pleasure listening to you guys. Riley, you got to be the coolest guy in the world. Every time somebody calls up, you're like, hi. I mean, it's like it's not even a job for you guys. Get over yourself, Maron.
Okay.
I mean, you're hilarious.
Thank you very much. Did you just call to hurt me? Where'd he go? Is he gone?
He's gone.
A temporary place now.
Oh, there you go.
Place.
What's that?
Everybody was watching Good Morning America.
Yeah.
I turned your show on yesterday, and there was this one jerk who was just like turning the volume up. Everybody was around. What's that show? What's that show? It's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks, man. So
I mean, you guys are the greatest show. You're like the stepchildren of the Air America Network, but you're like, I even like you guys better than Franken.
well, listen. what was your confession there, Henry?
I just made some up. I said I didn't vote. I didn't know what you guys were talking about. I couldn't think of anything. I'm in Oregon, so I figured it'd be that'd be a forgivable sin because we carried Kerry anyway.
But you did vote, right?
Oh yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah,
I
just said that to
get me at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
So your sin is you called here and lied to us. That's your sin.
I just wanted to get out and tell you guys you're great, man. I'm serious. You guys are like the greatest morning show I've ever heard in my life. They got to get you guys on and recycled.
Okay.
When I used to work before, I didn't want to get up and get in the shower and go to work because I'd have to miss your show.
Oh, man. Well, thanks, Henry. That's really nice. And I'll get over myself upon your instruction.
No
problem. We got time for this one last guy, because this one is a real doozy.
All right, Mike. What's up, Mike in Columbus, Ohio? How are you,
Mike? You sinner, you.
Hi, gentlemen.
What's up?
Yeah, this. I'm not sure if this is a liberal confession or if I'm just looking for a pat on the back. I had premarital unprotected sex, and I'm not at all ashamed of it either.
Really?
Hey, yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, wait a minute. When that little child comes calling you daddy, well, then what?
Oh no! She can't have kids.
How do you know? She told you, right?
Oh, I know.
No, well, you know what?
I've known her for 2.5 years.
All right, well, you know what? Everyone, you were willing to take the risk, and you're willing to take responsibility for it, and it sounds like you had a good time, so I'll let you off the hook.
Wait, not
what?
So fast. Get thee to a drugstore.
Yeah.
Two words for you there, Mike.
Yeah.
Trojan Magnum.
Magnum, why are you assuming Mike is hung like a car?
Because he's known her for 2.5 years and knows she can't reproduce.
All right, what's that got to do with the size of his...
You said Magnum.
Yeah.
Magnum's the really big one.
All right.
Hold on.
All right, then... okay, then get yourself some of those plastic gloves, the latex gloves, and
why
cut off one of the fingers.
Why are you assuming he has five of them?
I mean, that's a little smaller. Magnums don't work.
Hey, Mike, have a good time. Just be careful and, you know...
Use the Jimmy hat, Mike, okay?
I just use those plastic coin rollers.
All right, Mike. He's doing. Well, you know what?
Don't they hurt a little?
The thing about the plastic coin roller thing is, then the sex is not hinging on your ability to have an erection. Anyways, it's 43 past the hour. Apparently, we've taken a turn into the. Where are we?
Well, wait a minute. I didn't do that.
No, I know that, but that's just where we go. We'll be back with more confessions after this. The number is 866-303-2270. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show. If you're like me, and you probably are not, you're tired of getting your news from sophomoric, unreliable news outlets more focused on entertainment than news, like CNN and Newsweek. That's why I get my news from Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That and Fox.
Call 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Forty-nine
Five Past the Hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That's Buffalo Tom, which was a great Boston band, which reminds me, Mark Riley, we will be in Boston on Friday, Boston area. We will be in Somerville at the in Davis Square at the Someday Cafe. Our guests are going to be Barney Franks coming down.
Yeah.
We've got Ted Leo's going to jam. We got Barry Crimmins coming down with some funny. We've got Jimmy Tingle coming with the funny. We got you people coming by. There's no charge. Stop by. Have a cup of coffee. I am going to call Redbones personally today, I think, and see if they will supply us with some links or
uh-oh,
something. Bring some sausage.
A rack of ribs, Diet Coke.
I can't guarantee it to you people, but I didn't plan ahead. But I'm thinking I've been putting it off, but I'm hoping maybe it's not going to happen. But we will be at the Someday Cafe in Davis Square in Somerville, and we'd love to have you. Right now, we're taking liberal confessions, which seems to be the phones are heating up.
Yeah, they sure are.
866-303-2270. We are going to talk to Stuart in New York. Stuart, what's eating you, man? What's on your mind? What did you do wrong?
Hey, Stuart.
Hey guys. I was on the subway once, and I was just struck up a conversation with these college kids. We started, and it was before the election, and they all said they voted early. I was like, I figured they're educated college kids. I figured they voted for Kerry. And one of the girls said, I voted for Bush. I said, can I ask you why? And she's like, well, Bush is pro-life and Kerry is pro-death. And I was like, what? The whole abortion? I said, are you kidding me? I said, they were getting ready to get off this stuff. So I just started riling off. I said, you know, abortions were the 40-year under Clinton. They're back up under Bush. And then they would get up the subway. I said, good luck to your uterus.
nice, Stuart.
Just do something nice for a college kid you like, and that'll erase that one.
Give him a scholarship.
That's all right, Stuart. You know what I mean? Maybe you changed your mind. It's hard for me to give penance to Stuart because, you know, in my head, it's like he did the right thing. Don't feel too bad, I guess. Thanks, Stuart. That's hilarious. You know, it was everyone was so tense. I mean, I can't even, the amount of fights I got into, I told you, I got that guy almost beat me up. The husband of that journalist in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was crazy before the election.
People just don't know when to chill.
Oh, here we go. Maria in New York listening to WLIB. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Good morning.
What's your confession?
I hope you can understand my voice. I actually really do have laryngitis.
That's okay. I can hear you.
It's not a morning voice.
It's all right.
my confession is that right after we went into Iraq, I was watching Fox News for a while. I got to tell you a little slight thing there. I don't think I even realized, because we don't really watch TV a whole lot.
Right.
That it was as conservative as it was.
That you
and mean, after a while, because, you know, we put a flag up. We were kind of caught up in that patriotic fervor and, you know, let's go, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
But after a while, it just we just really started getting sick to our stomach watching Bill O'Reilly's face and that little sneer he gets on his face and a little kind of cocky look.
Yeah.
And it just kind of started to rub us the wrong way.
Yeah, you're
and
making me hate him.
And then we started figuring it out. But since then, fast forward, we listen to Air America Radio all the time. We don't really watch TV anymore, any of those news shows. And I think we've had a transformation. So
okay, so you've already done your penance.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think you have.
But we did watch it for a couple months, I have to admit.
Well, yeah, so you might have to listen to Air America Radio for a couple of years.
Yeah,
to
that'll work.
That. 2 months of Fox News versus 2 months of Air America Radio should do the cleaning necessary in your mind and heart.
Yeah. Now, you're married, right, Maria?
Oh, yeah, four kids.
Okay. Get your husband's pair of Nick tickets.
Nick tickets. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot,
thanks
Maria.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
You know, my dad was one of those people. Like, you know, he would call me up and go, you know, I was watching the news, and I don't think what you're saying is true. I'm like, what are you watching? He goes, I watch the Fox News. I'm like, Dad, that's not news. That's fiction.
Yeah, right.
Packaged propaganda. People like it because it's got music underneath it, or the graphics
are
exciting.
Nice.
I told him, I said, I think it's a little biased. He was like, really? All right, let's take another quick call here. Steve in Minneapolis listening to XM. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Quickly.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm already doing my penance. I got fired from my job a while back in Minneapolis, so now I have to drive 90 miles every morning to another city to a job there and listen to you guys. That's the only thing that keeps me going.
What'd you do, Mike? Here, Steve.
Well, for posting on a Yahoo message board for the company, not company information, nothing proprietary, but just sarcasm and subversive comments, because the company was outsourcing a lot of jobs to India, and I accidentally put my name on one and got fired for it. So I'm doing my penance now with this driving, but I still go on that message board and leave anonymous posts just to bait the conservatives on the board. And, you know, it's so easy. Those guys just... Well, I don't know if they got no sense of humor or they're dumb or what. But,
both.
Check all of the above.
Thanks a lot for calling, Steve. Sorry you lost your job. And, thanks for listening and keep making those posts. It's important.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the four-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Seeing as how today is Tuesday, this must be extra urgent. Here with today's dispatch from the War on Brains is war correspondent Mort Milfington.
Dateline, Washington, D.C., home of the Smithsonian National Museum, and that beer-stained easy chair Charles Lindbergh made famous on All in the Family. December 7th, like a frightened simian, yellow teeth a nattering, screeching, hopping back and forth, hurling itself at the bars of his cage, then misleadingly exposing his reddened buttocks for supplication, only to turn around and desperately fling moistened fecal matter at his benefactors. George W. Bush continues to soil the very fabric of human thought. Case in point, according to a report released by the Federation of American Scientists, and I quote, the process through which Congress and the executive branch receive scientific advice to make critical decisions is in a state of crisis that could result in poorly designed programs and costly mistakes. Translation, the government is controlled by evil apes who wish to destroy science. For now it has truly come to this, a war of man against ape. Insert gratuitous Dr. Zayas reference here. Shameful. Ignominious. Yes, cutting federal funds for stem cell research, manipulating scientific findings, and encouraging children to make rude fart noises when they see polar bears made at the zoo are the ingredients of George W. Bush's science policy, his Xanadu. But how can we ignore the great benefits science has bestowed upon this nation? Where would we be today without a vaccine for polio? Think how much faster we could have wiped out the Indians 150 years ago had we only had a cure for ADD. And what about that amazing drinking bird toy? It just never stops drinking. Head bobbing up and down. If I'd only know it was powered by a thermodynamic heat engine and not by evil magic, I never would have felt compelled to push my twin brother down that well when I was five. In the end, you could say he never stopped drinking, just like that bird never stopped drinking. Science, it's important. You ever wonder what makes those dancing flowers dance whenever you turn music on? I do. Thank goodness for science, because I know sooner or later science will explain that one, too. Hopefully before I have to kill again.
Oh, no.
But as long as this government continues this war against expert scientific advice, tragedies like my brother 40 years ago, and probably my landlady next week, will continue to happen. Never stops drinking the thing. It just never stops. Anyway, until next time, freedom fighters, read right, and don't drink that red stuff in the drinking bird toy. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Well, thanks, Mort. It's always nice to see you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You all right?
I'm fine.
Okay, take it easy.
Take it easy.
We'll see you later, Mort.
Whatever.
We'll be back in...
Next hour, Todd Barry, comedian, here, Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians of all kinds, and of course, you people with no sense of humor, conservatives, liberals. The umbrella is big. We'll even let you in if you don't listen to radio, which is going to be difficult. Yeah, isn't that interesting? I'm reaching out to the people that aren't listening to radio at all right now.
Turn it on.
It seems futile, doesn't it, Mark Riley?
It kind of does.
It is futile. But listen, look at this. Bill Frist actually looks like he might be doing something reasonable. I don't know if he's doing it on his own volition, but he's doing something reasonable. Senate Majority Bill Frist said Sunday that the government should review federally funded sexual abstinence programs that are under fire from the Democrats who say they contain false and misleading medical information. Thank God. I mean, obviously, he's just going, yeah, okay, you know, well, we'll take a look at it. But let's look at it ourselves, because Waxman's report is pretty telling, isn't it, Riley?
Waxman's report is telling, and Frist, as a doctor, cannot subscribe to some of the things that are in these different curricula.
You mean like you can get AIDS from sweat and tears?
Yeah. Or that night story that is in one of the curricula that we talked about with Helen Fisher yesterday.
Frist actually said in response to the sweat and tears thing, he said, Frist said it would be very hard. Yeah.
Difficult.
A little problematic. I can't even imagine how you would do that.
Well, see, he's got two things that mitigate for him saying that this needs to be reviewed. A, he's a doctor, and he knows better. And B, he's thinking about trying to run for president and succeeding the guy we got.
So let's talk about some of this information that's out there. Of the 13 most common curricula that is supported by the abstinence program that the government puts out, 11 used in 25 states by 69 organizations contain major errors and distortions, according to Waxman's report. Some of them, here we go. All right. Women gauge their happiness and judge their success on their relationships. Men's happiness and success hinge on their accomplishments. This is from the gender roles element, but more funny, or more sad and horrendous. Pregnancy results, 1 out of every 7 times a couple uses a condom. Now, that's just twisting numbers, and I can tell you from personal experience from a guy that's been with somebody a long time and rarely uses a condom, not true. Not true.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And Sexual Health Today claims touching someone's genitals can result in pregnancy. Now, that's a real long shot. You know, there's got to be a big mess around. It's misinformation. They're scaring kids.
It's extreme misinformation. One of these curricula, by the way, is named after a former basketball player by the name of A.C. Green.
Yeah, we talked to you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, who was the guy who said that he, and apparently went through with his pledge not to have sex until he was married, and I don't think he got married until, like, he was in his mid-30s or something. I don't know how his head didn't explode, but that's another story. For another day. These abstinence-only people latch on to anyone they can, particularly somebody who was prominent, you know, like an athlete like A.C. Green, and they try, you know, they put these kinds of things out there, and then they wonder why, pregnancy rates and abortion rates have gone up under George W. Bush.
I love these, man. Okay, here we go. This is sex versus abstinence. Problems including isolation, jealousy, poverty, heartbreak, substance abuse, unstable long-term commitments, sexual violence, embarrassment, depression, personal disappointment, feelings of being used, loss of honesty, loneliness, and suicide, quote, can be eliminated by being abstinent until marriage. But after you get married, that just opens the door to all of those things. So at least you got something to look forward to. Here's a killer. Listen to this one. While a man needs little or no preparation for sex, a woman often needs hours of emotional and mental preparation.
Wow.
I got to call ahead. I know I'm going to be home on the 17th of December. I got to start calling tomorrow to let my wife know that I'll be home and I want to have some sex.
I'm not having a good mental picture of what that statement actually means, that they have to prepare for hours ahead of time. By the way, these programs got $170 million from the Congress last year. And I believe they spent like almost $800 million on these abstinence-only programs over the last four or five years.
Wow.
It's an incredible amount of money to teach that kind of misinformation. I mean, how do you rationalize that?
What do you mean somebody's making money? Obviously, this money's going somewhere for someone to come up and tell it and scare the hell out of kids. I mean, that's an awful lot of money to print out pamphlets, isn't it? Especially since this type of education, it does nothing to prepare the kid for anything. Apparently, we got an email from a woman whose son or daughter was in the class, and she said that these abstinent teachers were laughed out of the classroom. I mean, kids are smarter than this. I mean, what kind of kid is this going to appeal to? Is it going to be the kind of kid that gets this stuff at home, that is being misinformed at home, that is being taught to fear sex? And out of that fear and out of that shame, people will lash out, and they're more prone to have unsafe sex.
But see, this is part and parcel of what elements of the religious right have on the table. They want abstinence only, and more importantly, they want to see to it that funding for programs that are not abstinence only are cut to the bone. so that they're the only ball game in town. That's what they're, that's their end game. It's one thing to say, well, you know, we have a philosophical, but then it's something else if all the money that goes for sex education in this country goes to abstinence-only programs, and that's what they want. They don't want anybody to have any other view. Very similar, by the way, to their view on creationism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's only one view. It's 7 days, the Lord, you know, on the seventh day he said it was. That's what they don't want any level of discourse about. They don't want any level of dissent from where they're coming from. Because even if they, you know, even if you were to sit there and say, well, maybe some abstinence, teaching of abstinence makes sense, then you do that in conjunction with information about
contraception. Right, it's like, yeah, sure, it's better if you can wait, but if you can't, use one of these.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what's the big deal?
But, see, the big deal for them is...
They think it's condoning sex, and
exactly.
They also think... Right, and they think that I think that what's at stake here is if you control the kids' minds...
That's it, control.
Then you are going to control the adults' minds, that you are going to, you know, make this a meme that sort of translates through generations, and hopefully it's about recruitment. It's about bulking the numbers. It's about, you know, fortifying their base as religious fanatics and frightening kids, you know, into doing what they tell them to do.
I wonder what happens if a child gets this kind of misinformation as a kid, and then they grow up and, you know, and they get married and it's like, you know, they're on their honeymoon and like they got to wait. Well, I'll be back in 5 hours when you're ready. I mean, because that's essentially what they're being told, that it takes women hours to get ready for sex.
Yeah.
Or does that shorten if you're married?
Yeah.
But
I think also, you know, the thing is, I don't know, you know, but I think also what it does is it sort of limits. It limits the horizons of the kids, and I'm curious about where this money is going. Is it going to church organizations? Is it going to, you know, is it going to, who's printing out these pamphlets? Who's in charge of this money? Because that's got to have something to do with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it has everything to do with it. Because I guarantee you this, there won't be that many people who don't support George Bush's overall agenda who get a dime of that money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that works.
And
that's why you've got so many church people, including, I'm sad to say, some black clergymen,
yeah,
who will, you know, run to the money and will back this guy over canards like gay marriage, because the end game for them is also the money.
See, I think that's what it really comes down to. So you get a few stickers printed up that say it's just a theory, or you get a few pamphlets, you know, printed up that say if you have sex, your head will explode, you know, and you'll go right to hell. And then you still got about $200,000 left over to, you know, kick back to your, you know, buy that that Hummer or whatever you need. Why is the priest in a Hummer? Why is the minister in a Hummer? Why? Because he's teaching kids not to get Hummers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're going to hell.
It's all kickback. You know what I mean? So let's see. Now we got the Treasury Secretary who's leaving, supposedly.
Well,
right?
it apparently they're showing him the door. John Snow, according to the reports that I've seen, Mark, and I think you've read some of the same ones, the Bush administration is not confident that Snow will be able to push through or be articulate enough about Bush's Social Security agenda.
So they
want somebody more pliable.
They need a salesman. And who might that be? We'll tell you in a second. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion. Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work. Courtesy of Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Yeah, yeah.
Air America Radio. So the guy they're kicking around, there's a lot of names being kicked around, but somebody's actually been kicking around Andy Card's name. I wish I'd kick around Andy Card. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, apparently you don't have to, you know, qualify for this job as Secretary of the Treasury. Apparently you don't need to have any sort of knowledge of economics or how money moves through the world or any of that. Fiscal policy, anything.
Well, you know, loyalty helps. Because
yeah, but
Paul O'Neill got blown out for not towing the party line.
I know. Well, everyone's getting blown out for not towing the party line. Pretty soon it's just going to be a bunch of sort of, you know, neocon zombies for the death cult to
run the country. Clearly, what they're doing is there's just two guys. It must be just Cheney and Rove and Bush the puppet and these zombies that they're just pulling around them to kind of, you know, plow through whatever agenda those two guys want to have done.
Yeah, and I mean, Andy Card, when asked about this the other day, said, no, I'm not in line for it. I'm not interested in it. But there's no guarantee that if Bush, pushes him, I mean, this is his chief of staff, after all. If he says, take the job, he takes the job.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. So let's do this Palm Pilot. This is actually George Bush's Palm Pilot. Ramon brought us earlier, and I gave him the bookmark that Janet from Jersey gave him, and he was baffled. I don't know, he's probably going to disappear for a week. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7 a.m., briefing on the bombing in Saudi Arabia. Note, double security at all embassies. And just to be safe, cancel all future reservations at embassy suite hotels. 9 a.m., call House leaders. Tell them to go ahead and pass the intelligence bill. Assure them that anything we need to know will still get through prayer. 9:35 a.m., speak to military personnel and families, Camp Pendleton, California. Note, thank them for all they've done and tell them this 18-month hitch is going to be the best 10 years of their lives. Yeah. 10:45 a.m., lunch with military personnel, Camp Pendleton. Swap war stories. Tell them the one about being attacked in Alabama by overwhelming humidity. 1 p.m., praise Ohio certification of my victory. Note, you know, if you visit a place 5 times a week for a year and promise them anything, you just might be able to squeak out a tiny victory. 5 p.m., call Hamid Karzai and congratulate him on his swearing in. Tell him, you now command the loyalty and respect of Afghanis 3 and even 4 blocks from your palace. 9 p.m., prepare my swearing in. My swearing in. Me, President Bush. Prepare that. Note, people will object to the crown at first, but they'll get used to it. So now, the primary reason they need a new treasury dude or dudette, what have you, woman, whatever. Well, the reason they need someone is to sell this Social Security scam.
Well, the White House and some senior Republicans in Congress had managed to portray Jon Snow as being ineffective and not a great salesperson for the Bush agenda. They want someone that they feel will sell better. And certainly Andrew Card, who...
He's a car salesman.
Yeah, and a lobbyist.
For the automobile industry.
For the automobile industry.
A car salesman.
Yeah. That is just what the doctor ordered. But, you know, he was asked about this by CNN the other day, and this was during a photo op, and he said, when asked if he was going to Treasury, no, categorically, no. But there are a list of people. Now, it's funny, the Wall Street Journal has one list of people, and the Financial Times has a different list of people who are supposedly up for this job. One of the people that was apparently considered, according to the Financial Times, is Stanley O'Neill, who's the African-American head of, Merrill Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently is too engrossed in making money to bother with this job. He's not interested in the guy. And it's interesting because Stanley O'Neill has leanings toward the Democrats, which is a fascinating idea. Now, the Wall Street Journal talks about former Senator Phil Graham from Bush's home state of Texas,
right,
who actually has a doctorate in economics. Well, he's also got a big mouth. Okay, he doesn't toe the line all the time.
Yeah, George doesn't like that.
That's what I think that probably would kind of, you know, push him out.
Big mouth in public, bad. Big mouth behind closed doors makes everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, there are other people who've been mentioned. John Mack, who was just ousted as chief executive of Credit Suisse First Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Schwarzman, CEO of Blackstone, the private equity group, and some other folks. So there's a very real possibility, for example, Joshua Bolton, the former Goldman Sachs Group investment banker, Glenn Hubbard, who did time as chief economist in the Bush White House before he went back to Columbia Business.
Sure, Glenn Hubbard, sure, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't need names. He needs lackeys.
He needs a guy that can sell this hokum.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Apparently AARP, the nation's largest senior organization, is
I'm a member.
Out. Are you? No, you're not. You're not old enough yet. Are you?
Yes.
No.
They send everything when you turn 50.
That's it?
Yeah.
So you're in, you're done. You're over,
you're
Riley.
Coming soon.
No,
you're
not
joining me.
It ain't that soon.
Yeah.
No,
you're going to have a cop stop you on the street like in that commercial.
Hey,
say, do you have the AARP insurance, your old bag?
I still got 9 years to have a heart attack and get off this planet
before
I get
you're going nowhere.
Look, man. So they come out strongly against President Bush's plan to allow private individual accounts within Social Security. Now, Krugman wrote a piece today called
called Inventing a Crisis.
Brilliant.
He actually came out of his vacation lair to write a piece that says, you know, basically it says this isn't privatizing.
That's
not what's going on. He said that Social Security works fine. That 20 years ago, under Reagan,
Alan Greenspan
both, you know, jacked up the payroll tax a little bit to make sure that the account, the trust, the Social Security trust, was going to be sufficient to carry us for a while.
Yes.
And even if that starts to run out, it still gets infusions from the payroll tax. And it may not be accommodating to inflation rates, but the truth of the matter is, he said that it wouldn't take much to jack the taxes up a little bit to make sure that still functions and is guaranteed to help people out when they need help at the end of their lives. And obviously people who are making a fortune could give a crap about Social Security.
And here's what the Bush administration is doing to blow smoke up. Never mind.
Go ahead. Yeah, all right.
With the seniors.
Yeah.
This is how he's gaming our seniors. He's saying to the seniors, look, if you don't fix this, it's going to cost $10 trillion in the long run. Now, this is to cover the fact that despite their best statements of the past, it's going to cost at least $1 trillion to do what Bush wants to do.
What, is he just going to start making up money now? Where's he going to get $1 trillion? And also, it's not privatization. All they want to do is take a chunk of the seniors' money that they can't spend anyways and basically throw it, you know, it's like put it on red.
Yeah, to the investment banker buddies for them to invest in.
Right.
In the markets.
Right.
And then when the markets go south, like they did for, who was that that lost a whole bunch of money in the market?
Well,
was
Enron,
that Bill Frist?
Well, you know, but Bill, no.
Yes. Somebody, yes,
yes
it was
yes.
Bill Frist. He lost like $400,000. You think most retirees can afford that?
But what about if it's going to be like a 401k? You know, those can't even be trusted. I mean, and Enron caused a lot of people to go broke.
Yes.
You know, and they shouldn't have any trust in that whatsoever. Settle, you know, they should, you know, take what they got coming and stand by that.
Yes, that's what the government is supposed to be all about.
Let's get Todd in here.
Yeah, let's get Todd. Todd Barry is our guest coming up when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less on Air America Radio.
Four past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Air America Radio. It's Morning Sedition. My guest in the studio is somebody I've known for probably, 20 years? Can it be that long already?
I don't think it's 20 years.
Come on, it's got to be 20 years now.
I'm 21, so I don't know how to be 20 years.
21-year-old Todd Barry is in the studio. You've seen him on Comedy Central. He's been on Conan O'Brien how many times?
It doesn't matter, but I do have the exact number. Anyone wants that, just email me and I will fire off that exact number.
If you're a fan of Todd Barry, you want to line up some calls as well. 866-303-2270. If you have any questions. Because Todd is sort of a mysterious comedian. Kind of cryptic.
I feel like an insult. I feel a veiled insult coming around.
No insult.
Or not veiled. I feel a direct attack.
He's got the new CD, Todd Barry Falling Off the Bone.
Yeah.
It's got a DVD in there. There's like 20 tracks.
So much value in that.
DVD.
It's ridiculous.
Comedy Central Records.
Putting it out. You can buy it in stores, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the big
Really? You don't have to go to toddberry.com?
Subtle placement on my website. I like that. It's so much better when you bring it up than when I go, hey, I have a website.
Is it toddberry.com?
Let me try to remember. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys who pretends they're not self-promotional. I don't know. Someone else does it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it has something to do with my name. All kinds of stuff up there, though. Don't you have one of those sort of cutting-edge websites?
I do have a really cutting-edge website.
Yeah.
No flash on it, though.
No flash?
So for you dial-up people.
Yeah,
I got something.
It's easy access.
It's easy. Yeah, it's for. Yeah, it crosses all whatever I'm trying to say here that's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. Perfect, Todd. So where'd you tape this thing, man?
I taped it at Pianos on the Lower East Side.
Are you guys still doing that show? I used to do a show with Dave Cross and John.
Yeah, we're doing it December 30th, actually.
Who's on that show?
I don't know.
Who is?
Yeah, I mean, there's guests.
You know,
Mark, do you want to be on? I'm sure we could squeeze you.
I guess that's sort of what I was doing. Can I be on the show, man?
Yeah.
We're going up to, you remember that show we did at Southpaw in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
That was a good show. That was Ted Leo was on that show, right? He's going to be on our show. We're going to be in Somerville this Friday in Massachusetts in Davis Square at the Someday Cafe. Yeah? And Ted Leo is going to be there. And
you're going to be broadcast?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
We're
going to
be
show
right there. People are going to be coming by. We've got Ted Leo. We've got Barney Frank, who's going to sing with Ted Leo, which is really...
Are you serious?
I don't know. No. They're just two guests on the show.
I saw Barney Frank in when I was in D.C. at a he was eating alone at some restaurant. That's my Barney Frank story, which that's a good one, huh?
That's true. That was compelling, man.
It was a really compelling story.
Do you do a lot of morning radio? We all do.
Yeah. I was thinking today when I did this. I did one in, there was a club in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I don't know if you ever did that club.
No, I haven't.
And you know the way anytime a comedy club opens up, it's always 5 nights a week, no matter what city it is.
Yeah.
Grand Forks was a 5 night a week. But we sat there, and the guy, this is a true story, and I did radio, and he goes, hey, the first 5 callers can get to see Todd Barry at this club. And we sat there, and we didn't even get 5 calls for free tickets. And I was like, embarrassed. And I go, oh, the guy's like, oh, it happens all the time. Maybe you should scale that number down. And if you control that, why don't you go for like 1 pair and see if we get that. It was just unbelievable. We just sat there and like, you guys are aware these are free tickets, right? These are free tickets. And it is Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Like, what could they be doing?
I know. It's like, I'm not saying I'm great, but what else you doing?
Oh, man.
What else you doing?
Yeah, I just did radio. Actually, I was in Seattle, and I've got a whole new respect for it now because I'm sitting here. You know, I'm hosting my own radio show, and it's really when you go in, sometimes you go in, you just assume, like, you know, I'm here, man, what's going on? And you enter someone else's world.
Right.
You know, it's their little universe. And you ever been in those situations where you do morning radio, and you're all of a sudden some sort of strange competitive thing with the local bigger morning guy there?
Exactly, yeah, there's guys who are they're jerks.
Yeah, right? I know.
I did one in Cleveland where the guy was like, he brought up, I had just done the David Letterman show. But John McEnroe was a guest host.
And he goes, oh, it's not like doing Letterman, really, then, because in McEnroe, well,
it might not be, but still better than doing your morning show. It's still bigger than doing your morning show, I think.
I was at a show once, and the guy, like, I brought a joke up. He's like, yeah, we've been doing that all week. What else you got? It was like some current event thing about something Bush said. He went out of his way to make me feel like an ass.
Yeah, or they'll go, or they don't do any research on you at all, and they get there and you go, who are you? What do you do? I don't know. Could you have nailed this down before?
Could you have done a little preparation?
Just one little quick Google. Do a little Googling.
But sometimes that's a liability if they look you up. I always get that thing where you prepare some bits, or you want to do your jokes, and the guy's like, so Almost Famous, what was that about? How was that? What was it like being in that movie?
Or they want dirt. They want, like, celebrity emails.
Yeah, like you do your 5 minutes on Letterman, and the first thing that you do is you sit down next to him and goes, guess who I'm having sex with? You know, it just doesn't happen.
What's Letterman like? Well, when we're at the diner afterwards, he takes you all out to dinner afterwards. But,
So what about, where are you going next, man? You got big plans? You do a lot of
I got a gig in Hoboken on Friday. I'll be playing, I'm doing a show with Yola Tango.
That's weird, because I'm doing that on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. Well, Saturday, we're going to get competitive now. I'll be at North 6 for the Onion Christmas Party, which I sold out. That means there's no tickets left.
Oh, you mean I can't go? Because my Maxwell's gig sold out, too. I guess those must be the people that couldn't get into the Onion Christmas show.
I guess what Mark and I are saying is we're both doing really well.
Kind
of. If you think we're funny, you can't see any of our shows.
They're all sold out.
The Onion, now, but of course, now I'm going to take it one step further. Wait, now, what's the Onion Christmas Party?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just something that you didn't need $25,000 anyway.
Oh, my God. Is it a live show?
It's a live show.
But I mean, not a party. It's like a.
It's a party with a live show, which is always not a good idea. But yeah.
Oh,
I think this will work because it's the Onion people. Yeah.
But what are they doing? Is it an invitation only thing?
No. It's a, what do you call it? A show.
Married to Grant.
Who's going to be on it?
Me, the guys from Stella.
You lost me right there.
some band, French Kick, I think. White Castle, a band, a cool band.
Now I'm just happy I'm going to get to see 11th Dream Day live.
So you're doing that thing on...
I'm doing with 11th Dream Day and Yola Tango as well.
Yeah.
Did you know 11th Dream Day was still even playing?
I think I did some shows with them where there was a guy who was No, I did. Long story short, no, I did.
You remember back in the old days? Now, me and Todd go back at least 40 years. Where back in the days where
back when you were one.
Yeah, we had nothing to do, and we just wander around the East Village and talking about how when are we eventually going to get to do something.
Oh, no. I still do that.
So. Yeah. And then occasionally before we had any success as comics, he'd take me over to Tower Records to show me his band CD.
Oh yeah, I had a CD.
It wasn't
in Tower though, was it?
I think it was man. Like,
I remember once I took someone over there. It was on a record store in St. Mark's. It was like a dollar rack.
Yeah.
And then next to it was a 50-cent rack. And I was like, and I was in the 50-cent rack with my old band.
Oh, no. Oh wow.
It's all right. Well, I get 49 out of every 50 cents. I had a great deal.
What was the band called?
I was in a band called The Chant. We were out of Florida. We're out of Florida. If you could still buy that record, then. That'd be great if I got huge and there was a sudden demand for that CD.
Chad.
Like everyone in the band became millionaires.
What's that thing you used to do about the they never give the Emmys to bands that, what was that?
Oh, if you're trying to get me to launch into my act.
Come on, just do that one.
Oh, Oh, we starting there?
We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's 42 past the hour.
You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Call us at 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition
on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Yes, you are.
In the house, we have Todd. Ouch. Apologize. Barry.
I'm in the house right now.
Yeah, who's did I just see me in the house?
You did say I'm in the house.
I'm sorry. His new CD is called Falling Off the Bone. It's from Comedy Central Records. Todd really wants to talk to somebody. We'd hate to have a repeat of what happened to him in South Dakota.
No, it was North Dakota.
I'm sorry. If you're in South Dakota, they'll phone.
South Dakota, they have to install extra phone lines.
Yeah, 866-303-2270. We want these phones to ring off the hook for Falling Off the Bone. Todd Barry's new CD.
I don't want to talk about the CD. I just love taking calls.
Are you doing Conan today?
No, I did it on Friday.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was pretty good.
Did you do stand-up or did you just sit down?
I just sat down, man.
I was sitting down before you. You know that, don't you?
What's that?
I was doing the panel before you.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I think you invented the chair. I don't think anyone had actually ever sat down before.
Getting into a very weird competitive thing now.
No, we don't really compete. I remember when I first started asking that, though. I did stand up a few times. You're like, oh, why can't you sit down? I want to just sit down and talk. It's better, right?
You get paid less, though, when you sit down.
You do?
Yeah.
And how much was it?
No, now you're like, he's crunching the number. All those times I just sat down.
But we were just talking about the swag you get Conan. You get all kinds of stuff.
You get free.
You get a basket full of L'Occitane French skinwear or skin products.
Yeah.
And they got candy in there.
They got candy,
but they give you this list of stuff. They got T-shirts, of course.
People at home who are at their jobs love that.
You hear about this?
Yeah. We get a lot of
swag.
Free stuff.
But they got a list. They got a whole list of stuff.
Call them.
You just call them. They send you a crate of water, a gum, a box of gum. Yeah.
Late night with Conan O'Brien.
I didn't get
gum.
Wait, now I'm mad. I didn't get
Dentine ice.
Oh, they give you a pack of every kind of Altoid.
Yeah. Oh, you got that swag someplace.
Yeah. And I brought the vodka to Dan Pashman's son, Lewis and Linda Pashman, didn't I? Or did I not?
I haven't seen it since.
I did get it. I did. You got it, right?
That's why he's growing that beard back then.
So, Todd, man, what's going on with the love life? You all right?
I got nothing, man.
You got nothing going on?
I got nothing, man.
Oh, man.
But I'll take the third caller for
Dude, I wish I could help you out here. 866-303-2270. Would somebody please call and talk to Todd Barry? Come on.
If you've never won anything in your life, this is, I mean...
Or you can, if you want to see what he looks like first, go to toddberry.com, where you can...
And then call.
I imagine you can also see some of your bills. Do you do that? Do you post the bills up there?
The bills?
You know, like the American Express bills.
Oh, the receipt museum on the website is extremely popular. I post receipts.
I just saw Dan Passman pick up the phone, man. This
oh, my God.
Oh, there's another call for Todd Barry.
We're on a roll now.
Let's take our sympathy call right now. First sympathy call.
We're looking for the third caller. Oh,
there we go.
No, they didn't hang up. But I don't know if we're going to put any through. It could be just people going, this is stupid.
Really?
Who knows?
Do you get a lot of crankies?
No.
They email and blog.
Yeah, really? We've got nothing but nice people on our blog. You know, Todd Barry has influenced a lot of comics. There's a lot of people doing vague renditions of
Billy Crystal.
If it weren't for Todd Barry,
there would be no Billy Crystal.
Actually, the name of Billy Crystal's new Broadway show is originally The Todd Barry Story, and they changed it. Oh, hold on. So now I'm going to, here we go. Looks like we've got Mike in Staten Island.
Oh, God.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you got going, Mike?
How you doing?
All right.
Just driving in the rain.
You know, they have a ferry, I think. They have a ferry. They have a little boat.
You're just driving. Did you want to talk to Todd?
He doesn't want to.
Not really.
Somebody wanted. Nobody else did, so I thought.
Wow.
Shaolin, baby.
He's pretty cocky for a guy from Staten Island.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Mike.
Kayla's in for that.
Yeah, he's from Staten Island.
Are you really?
Mike, where are you
there
going?
There goes your microphone.
Where are you going, man?
Go, Mike?
Huh? Everybody talked at once. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Where are you headed?
Brooklyn.
Yeah? And what are you going to do over there?
Yeah.
I'm going to deliver 7,000 gallons of candle wax.
Whoa.
Really?
For what?
Candles.
Mark asks the probing, non-obvious questions. What are you going to do with that candle wax? Make candles with it.
Sure, you never know.
I know.
Yeah, right.
All right.
It's liquefied, though? Now I'm curious. It's liquefied candle wax?
Yep. Yeah, heat it up till it melts, put it in the tank, and haul it that way.
Wow. Do you make this on your own? Is this your company, the candle wax company?
No, I just drive the truck.
Oh, yeah. So you weren't the guy with the brains behind the operation.
Well, I mean, that's disputable, but...
Well, be careful. It's rainy out there. You know?
Can you hook Mark and I up with some candle wax?
I'll buy a few candles.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate
Thanks, Mike.
It.
I guess it's better to just have the calls come organically.
Oh, wow. We got plenty sympathy calling.
Was that a real? Is that a real call?
Yeah,
I think that was real. If it wasn't, it was very creative. The candle.
Uh-oh. Staten Island rolling in again.
Oh, I insulted Staten Island.
Tim in Staten Island, how are you,
sorry,
Tim?
Sorry, Tim. I apologize.
How are you? Tim, what's going on?
I'm all right. I just felt bad for Todd.
Oh, this is not a good precedent, I think.
Wow.
There's got to be a more clever way to get calls without saying, I'm not getting any calls. I'm not getting any calls.
Thanks for helping out, Tim. All right, buddy.
All right, Tim.
Wait, we got Bonzo in Milwaukee. How can that be bad?
What's starting off bad?
Bonzo, what's going on?
I was just wondering, what do I win for calling up to talk to Todd?
You win the conversation and the story you're going to tell. Where are you going?
Where am I going?
Are you in your car also?
No, I'm not going nowhere.
You're
not going nowhere.
Bonzo stays home.
Hey, stay on the phone. We'll send you something.
Yeah, do you have Air America beer cozies? Or
sure, something? Sure.
Yeah, we got some Air America swag.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Bob.
Wow.
Where do I win? Isn't just getting through and talking to me, isn't that half the prize?
Yeah.
That's prize enough.
People don't realize that you sell out everywhere you go. You're a huge act.
I'm a huge act.
You got any European tour dates coming up?
I see what you're trying to do.
I keep trying to lead him into his bits. He won't do it.
Dope, man.
Oh, here we go. Mariah. How are you, Mariah?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that I met both of you guys at the Luna Lounge about 10 years ago.
That would mean to you, right? Is that what you're going to say?
I met you at the Luna Lounge 10 years ago.
And how was that experience?
Oh, it was great. It was great. But I have to tell you that Todd asked me out on a date.
Yeah, really?
Whoa. You turned him down, did you?
I was 18.
No.
Oh, I remember 18. You. Oh, sorry.
But that was 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago. I'm a little older now, Todd.
I bet you're 28 now.
I am 28 now.
Thank God I got that calculator watch on today.
Go ahead.
I remember you, Mariah.
You do?
I do, actually.
You do?
Yeah. Yes, I think I do. I wish I could remember something about
you. Oh, that's crazy. Well, I'll take you up on that date now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Mariah, Shanae.
You're
should
not calling number
no?
three, sorry.
Shouldn't I say you had your chance?
Oh, crap.
Well, you were there. You're short and you have brown hair, right? With long brown hair?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't remember you. I'm playing it cool. I don't remember you.
Stay on the phone. We'll get your number, and you can go out with Todd.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Assuming, of course, you get off the FDR Drive, which is where she is now.
You know, it's weird about Todd, just because I know.
I feel an insult coming.
It's not an insult. Is that there's literally, you have 500 or 600 women with that exact same story in the city.
Not eight. I'm glad she said it was great meeting us.
That was very nice. Right? But not only that, she said that she's willing to go out with you now.
So after mulling it over for 10 years.
It took her a while to decide.
I don't believe that she was 18 at the time.
I do. How did she get in, though? But I remember there was a lot of those, there was a lot of people that that used to hang out at Luna that were young.
She's probably one of those 18-year-olds that seems.
Now, Rob's probably going to get shut down because it's coming to the 4 point.
There's a $5 million FCC fine. Did you say 18 and ask out? No.
So what are we going to do now, man? Are you doing Letterman anytime soon? When are we going to get to do that again?
Oh, my God, I'm getting cut off.
Right. All right. There's a fax from the Liberal Agenda that's from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders. You can get Todd's Falling Off the Bone at his website or in the stores.
You can't get
stores.
It on my website.
Oh, you can't get it at
record stores or the Comedy Central website.
There you go. Here's a Liberal Agenda for today. One, accept the official Ohio certification of Bush's victory with grace and equanimity, then kick a puppy. Two, boycott the movie House of Flying Daggers. That just has to be unsafe. Three, remember, it's the little drummer person. Four, this holiday season, block your parents' 2-to-1 majority with lengthy filibusters. And five, phrase of the day, our embassies might be attacked a lot less often if we had more ambassadors of goodwill, man. Yeah, that's it. Todd Barry, Falling Off the Bone, Record Stores, ComedyCentral.com. What do we got coming up tomorrow there, Riley? Anything?
Coming up tomorrow, we have got none other than James Walcott, contributing editor to Vanity Fair.
That's good.
He's checking in. And Kenneth Miller, professor of biology at Brown University, explains why evolution is not theory.
Oh, good, good.
We're going to have a whole lot of fun in here tomorrow.
Have a good day there, Riley.
Have a good one. This is Air America Radio.